Waiting for your electrical supplies during the day or sitting in traffic is for the birds. Use the GCE Night Train from Granite City Electric and get access to over $50 million in local inventory with a free guaranteed overnight delivery of your electrical supplies anywhere in New England. So avoid wasting time waiting in line and sitting in traffic. Order by 5 p.m. and you'll have your materials the next morning by 6 a.m. guaranteed. Visit GCENightTrain.com to get on board the GCE Night Train today. Granite City Electric, proud partner of the Boston Bruins Radio Network.
These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
Where do you think people are blanked? Go.
Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the program. Felger and Maserati on a Monday, Anthony.
Good, you.
Peachy, thank you. Call Mondays, reentry Mondays. Everything from the weekend is on the table. That means two things today, Patriots and Red Sox. Patriots, I was off on Friday, so I did not get a chance to weigh in on that first preseason game and the events of the weekend. So that will definitely be on the table, as will the Red Sox. And breaking news over the Red Sox, Chris Sale back on the DL. With mild shoulder inflammation, Maz. Mild.
Mild.
So all that stuff, and we'll just get right to it. 617-779-0985 is the phone number. Let's start with the Red Sox and Chris Sale. And Maz, what's your take on that?
Okay, so initially, when this thing first happened, and they described it as mild tendinitis in the shoulder, I had mild.
It was inflammation, not tendinitis, I believe. Did they say tendinitis? Or
whatever. Same thing.
It is?
Yeah, to me, it is. Or whatever. So fine, inflammation. Okay, inflammation. You're right, they said inflammation. So when they described it as mild, I would tell you I had mild concern, is what I would tell you. The fact that this has happened a second time and they are calling it mild, now I have acute concern. So I just look at it and I say, well, if it happened again, then there's a problem. I mean, like the first time I interpreted it as they are 10 games up, they got 40 games to go. This is a guy who runs out of gas at the end of the season. So you know what? They're going to be careful. They're going to slow it all down, and they're just going to do it right. So he's got a little thing in his shoulder. No big deal. They'll bring him back, and that'll be the end of it. Then he came back, threw 99 miles an hour in five innings, struck out 12 of the 15 outs for which he was on the mound. And I said, okay, no problem. Here we go. And then it happened again. So now two things. One, there's a legit problem here. He's not responding. It didn't come back. So either they sent him out there too fast, or he went out and tried to do too much out of the gate, or both. Like, whatever. But there's an issue in that shoulder, and now they have to manage it going forward here. So am I worried about it? Yes, I am worried about it, because I think without this guy, they have next to zero shot.
Well, that was my question. Is it a survivable injury?
I mean,
is it survivable if he's 75%?
Yes. Yes.
Why do you say that?
Because I think it's...
They don't need him to be a postseason workhorse?
Well, I think 70... Well, so I don't know. Maybe 75% is not enough. But if he's out there and he can give him six innings and give up two or three runs, yeah, it's good enough. They can win with him. But without him, I think their chances drop exponentially. And I don't want to say zero, because you never know. Okay? There's no way to know. But it's pretty close to zero without him, because the ripple effect on that pitching staff is huge. Huge.
So what kind of annoys me, and you pointed this out at the time, and that was all those articles we had to read in the middle of the year about how this new approach to Chris Sale is working. And I think you said, how do we know if it's working? He always pitches well in the middle of the year. What's the diff? You won't know that till September, October, and if he's stronger in September, October. And so, like, I don't know, the victory laps that the Red Sox beat guys were doing, because Chris Sale looked good in July. Like, so what? Doesn't he always look good in July?
Yep.
So it's not the Red Sox fault. I don't blame them for trying for something new. Like, that's not, like, I'm not criticizing the Red Sox. I'm like, just the victory lap. There's just that jump to conclusion that, oh, this has worked. How the hell do you know it has worked?
It hasn't worked. In fact, I think we can say definitively now it didn't work.
Which is, again, no harm, you know, unless they made it worse, which I doubt. But it's just, this is what Chris Sale is. He's someone who fades at the end of the year. And so body type, delivery, whatever the case may be, he's just that guy. He's not a war horse. He's not a workhorse. He's not. And that's just what he is. So, I mean, I don't blame the Red Sox for trying something new, but how did you know? So he was pitching well in July. Big whoop.
Yeah, no. Everybody wanted, again, rush to judgment there and just say, okay, emphatically, you know, this thing's been a success, and look, they fixed the problem. And there was no way to know that until now. And I felt this way, again, as you said, the first time he got hurt. Well, this tells you right then and there it didn't work. They went out of their way to slow the guy down, to be careful with him, handle him with white gloves, for crying out loud. All of it. They did the whole thing. And he still got to a point where they had to put him on the DL because his shoulder flared up. So they can call it mild, they can call it whatever they want, but once it happens a second time, I got to take it as a serious concern.
Well, and to me, let's just say he's able to pitch through it in the postseason, and he's 80, 90% effective, which is still good enough. Like, I still think that's all plausible. What I wondered is if they were going to need him the way you need some of these guys, which is pitch game one, game four, game seven.
Sure, Bumgarner.
Or pitch game six and then come back and pitch an inning of relief in game seven. Like, exactly. Madison Bumgarner or Schilling, Randy Johnson,
lean on him.
Not every Jack Morris, not every World Series champion has one of those. They're all built differently. But some teams do. Some teams need you just ride that one guy. And if you wanted to do it with this guy, you can't. You can't. You don't have the option.
No. There are certain guys you can really lean on. And I think it's clear now he's just not that kind of guy.
Did you ever thought there, Big Jim Murray?
Yeah, just don't try convincing me that this is another maneuver to keep him fresh for the postseason.
Agreed, Mike.
If that was the case, they wouldn't have brought him back for a completely useless start against the Baltimore Orioles. I was concerned about this when he went out against the Yankees. Maz kind of talked me off the ledge. But now I'm borderline freaked out about it because it's simply because of this guy's physical makeup. He breaks down. The stats back that up around this time of year. But with his physical makeup, the string bean body that he has, it's all a matter of time before this guy has a big injury that's going to shut him down. And now I'm like, they'll do nothing without him this postseason. They have to have him.
Well, even more is now on Mr. Happy, David Price.
So this is what concerns me. And this is why I say it's not zero that their chances of winning are not zero if Sale's unavailable to them or he's not at peak efficiency. Because Price has the ability to be good. We know he has the ability to be good. It's his mentality and his heart and his brain, his balls that get in the way. Like, it's not because of ability. So if all of a sudden something were to click, could Price fill the void or close to it? Yeah. Sure, of course. I mean, I don't rule that out entirely. Would I bet on it? Hell no. Not for a second.
Okay.
But that's the only reason I leave the door open a crack.
All right, so Red Sox on the board, 617-779-0985. Patriots, everybody all giddy over how Tom Brady looked, doing backflips naked down the street because Tom Brady completed a few balls to Julian Edelman and James White? I'm sorry. I didn't quite get the euphoria over the way the Patriots looked. I don't quite get it. So he completed a bunch of balls to the running back and Julian Edelman and Chris Hogan. I knew he could do that. What does that prove to me? And, I will give you that Tom Brady moved well. Like, I thought his movement and his mobility, his pocket presence and all that was pretty impressive, actually. I thought, he looked really smooth back there. But what does it prove to anyone that they can throw a bunch of balls behind the line of scrimmage to James White? What does that... Is that what's going to carry you all year? I told you going into the game, Tom Brady had really nothing to gain with me and everything to lose, and the bar is set incredibly high. So I am sorry. A bunch of dump-offs to James White and Julian Edelman in the first preseason game. Sorry. I'm not that impressed. Was not that impressed with the Patriots offense. Just wasn't. Sorry.
So look, to me, the thing that the throw he made to Hogan on the touchdown, I thought he did a good job moving in the pocket, kind of sliding over and then making the throw, I want to say on the run, but on the move at least a little bit. But a lot of the other the Philly defense in that game was wretched on top of it. Like, this is something we did talk about on Friday. On that screen pass to James White, holy crap. He could have taken off his clothes and run naked down the middle of the field and no one would have touched him.
It was a screen pass to James White. I know they can do that. I don't care how badly Brady sucks. He'll be able to do that.
What about the 22-yard completion up the seam to Jacob Hollister?
Nice ball. Give him that one. And again, pocket presence, mobility, all of that was nice. He looked smooth back there. And the offense runs with him and all that. Like, I knew it. I knew that. I'm sorry. I just don't think, and you know, it's close, but if all they have this year is White, Edelman, Hogan, Gronkowski, is that enough? It's close. There's no margin for error. You know, if Gronkowski or Edelman get hurt, forget about it. If Hogan gets hurt, there's not a single receiver that feels like they're anywhere close to. So I don't know. If you wanted to give me big, if you wanted me to give them big marks for the way they looked offensively in that game, you know, I would have need to see three completions on four attempts to Decker, or Cordarrelle Patterson run an actual route there where he and Brady are on the same page. Because I just think they're going to need more, because I don't think Edelman, Gronkowski, White, and Hogan are all going to stay healthy and all be there at the end. But one of those guys is going to peel off. It's just...
Oh, I'm with you on that. I would have liked to have seen more completions to the Philip Dorsetts of the world, or Patterson, or anyone like that. I mean, look, we had heard about rust, so it was nice to see him be crisp and look like, you know, midseason last year. But, you know, last week, Perillo rolled his eyes when I thought the deep balls were iffy. And he's like, well, you know, it's never been part of his game.
He should have been intercepted a couple times.
Yeah, Ronald Darby. I mean, he had a chance on a couple of those balls.
The depth in the receiving core is a legit worry. I mean, to me, I think if it stays intact, I think they do have enough. I do. I feel that way. But I also look at the guys we're talking about. Edelman, can you bank on him being there for 16? And Gronk for 16? And Hogan for 16?
I'm not.
Like, so I don't know if you can bank on all of them being there for 16, let alone, like, you know, two out of three. Like, you know, they're going to have some issues there, I think. So the depth worries me there, too. I just think that I still worry about more about the defense. But sticking to Brady, yeah, I mean, I hear where you're coming from.
I mean, to me, the bar is just, I'm sorry, the bar is high. You don't trade the next franchise quarterback that would have been here for a decade for just to be okay. You know, I hear it all the time. They'll be fine with Brady. They'll be fine. They'll be fine. Fine isn't going to do it. They have to be awesome. They've got to be championship level elite. It has to be an elite championship level passing game. Has to be. Otherwise, I'm keeping the kid who's 24 and going with him for the next 10 years. Bar's high. I told you. I'm going to need more than a quarter in the preseason. I'm going to need more than half of the regular season. I'm going to need to see them in January, in February, be elite offensively, elite passing game. And I don't know. I mean, looking at that game, I don't see where else it's going to come from. And I'm even dubious of some of the existing pieces. The defense, the bar is way lower for me on the defense. So I'm coming at it from a different place. But I feel like there's signs of life there on that side of the ball.
Well,
no,
on the defensive line, maybe. Maybe even a little bit in the linebacking core with Bentley. How'd you feel about Jason McCourty in that game?
Not great. But I feel like three of the four spots there in the secondary are settled. Like, their safeties are good. Set. Gilmore should be fine, at least, if not better. And then so it's a slot in the other corner. And they got like five, six bodies to throw at it. I know those are gaps. I'm not telling you they're not, but it's not like the whole secondary is a shambles. And I really think up front, it feels like they've got like a handful of edge guys who could really do something.
Okay, look, so I like how those guys look. I like how Claiborne look. I like how Wise looks. And, you know, even Derek Rivers showed some flashes in that game. I was happy to see that. But this also brings me to sort of, you know, Brian Flores now and the whole defensive philosophy. What are the chances you think they're going to turn them loose like they did on Thursday?
I'm not sure they need to. I mean, let me take that back. Of course they'll need to in spots. I just feel like they have some guys up front with some good size and burst who can beat their block. And I haven't been able to say that very often the last couple of years here.
Yeah, I'll believe it when I see it in the regular season.
I don't blame you, but I wasn't even expecting to see this. You know, like all those guys that you just mentioned, and add on that Kenyatta, what's his name?
Oh, Keontae Davis.
Keontae Davis, who Bill apparently loves and would have been drafted last year, but he had a back injury, and so he was sort of redshirted. You add that guy, Claiborne, Flowers, Davis, Wise, Rivers, they're all like 6'3", 250, long-armed, like, they're all sort of the same type and same build.
All between 260 and 280.
Yeah, oh, so even bigger, you know?
Because I think Claiborne's about 280.
They're big, and they're rangy, and it's... You know, I don't think this team will ever be a team that draws up all those exotic blitzes. So, you have a point there. I don't care what Flores wants to do. Bill won't let him. But can those guys can you get those guys one-on-one on a second tackle or a tight end or a back? And will they defeat their blocks? I think they can do that.
So, that was probably the most eye-opening part of the game, right? I mean, if we're judging it just from that game, the play of the defensive line and the linebackers.
And so, just Juwan Bentley keeps showing up. I mean, I think he's involved in the passing game and coverage, which they have no one who can do. So I sort of look at that side of the ball and go, huh, I don't know, maybe they're starting to build something here. But again, bar set really low, so they had an easier time of it. Brady, I'm sorry, bar set exceptionally high, so I'm going to need more than a couple of balls to James White and Julian Edelman for me to be satisfied. Murray. But this is what we're doing. It's a reentry Monday. Everything on the board. The Red Sox, Sale, the Patriots, 617-779-0985. There's one measly line open. Grab it. We'll talk to you next.
You're listening to Felger and Bass.
Doesn't always have to be ha ha hee hee.
Oh, love it.
98.5 Sports Hub.
It's definitely less than it was last time. Like I said, just didn't bounce back. Wasn't really responding the way we wanted it to. And, given kind of where we are, it was, kind of the right call to give it some rest and stay on top of it. You don't want to be playing catch up during a time like this. So, like I said, obviously terrible timing, not exactly the most ideal situation. To be honest, was quite miserable for me. So, but at the same time, I'm not gonna sit around the pout. I'm gonna keep my chin up. I'm on the best team that's ever walked the planet. So, I've got good teammates that have my back, and I appreciate that.
So he says on the best team that walks the planet, but that, the one that part of the comment that I'm just stuck on is that it was definitely less than the first time, less discomfort, I guess, or swelling than it was the first time. Does that make you feel any better? Do you believe it?
No, I don't. Because I think I told you I believed Sale the first time when he said, we're not hiding anything here. There's nothing, we're not manipulating anything. We're telling you the truth.
Right. This time I feel like they're manipulating and hiding the truth.
Me too. Because like when him saying it's definitely less than the first time. Oh, so maybe the first time was worse than we thought. Like now I feel like I can't believe them. So I just look at it and I say, there's something wrong here. They obviously cleared him to go back into a game. And then it came back. So they don't have it under control. And the playoffs are 6 weeks away. So now look, they have time. I'm not telling you they don't have time. But don't sit here and tell me it's nothing. Because that to me is just, breezing right by and not acknowledging the reality.
Okay, reentry Monday. Everything on the table. Bill and Ashley, and lead us off on Chris Sale. What do you got, Bill?
Hey, how's it going? I hate to pick up the beginning of you guys' show and have Maz whining about Sale. Okay? Let me explain something. I'm a Mason contractor. I've been doing it. I'm 60 years old. When I got inflammation in my shoulder, my elbow, my hand, you know what I did? I took Motrin. All right, this guy goes out every 5 days. Everything's going to be fine. I wouldn't worry about it. But I wanted to pick up a couple of other things.
Quickly.
Was that the Patriots preseason against Philly. You know what they did? Everything they didn't do in the Super Bowl. They put pressure on the quarterback.
So let me stop there. I just feel like they have guys who can do it. We'll see about this game. I don't know about Brian Flores and what Bill's going to allow him to do. And I don't think Bill will ever be a heavy blitz guy. Not in his nature.
It leaves him too vulnerable.
But do they have individual guys that if they get him in the right matchup can exploit it? And that's what I think they might have. Or are building towards. I think they're starting to build towards it. These guys, Rivers unproven, Wise unproven, the Kenyatta Jones, Davis.
Keontae Davis
unproven. But I don't know. Just I feel like they got some big rangy guys with burst. And throwing up against the wall, some of it's going to stick.
Yeah, I was impressed by Claiborne. I mean, again, it's one game, right? I'm just telling you, within the context of that one game, he looks like he pretty much goes at it in every play.
Chris Sale, you think all he needs is a little Motrin?
Yeah, you know what? I was a writer for years, and my fingers used to get sore. I took a couple Advil, no problem. So Sale, he's fine. Yeah, I don't see what the connection is between me and him, but I'm telling you that's what it is in my head.
Something tells me it's not going to be quite that easy. Bob in Marlborough has a thought on Tom Brady. Hi, Bob.
Yeah, on Tom, I went to the game. I saw the game. I watched the game. I'm a season ticket holder. And what do you two gentlemen have to say? What does Brady have to do? Brady was outstanding. Where was the rustiness that you guys are talking about?
He was all right.
In the OTAs. What do you mean he was all right? I was there.
He was all right.
I had two Philly fans sit beside me for three quarters. They couldn't stand me.
Bob, you're right that he looked better than the reports coming out of camp. I mean, I wasn't there for, we were there for one day, and I didn't even see him throw on that day. So you're right. When you looked at it, when you read some of the reports, you know, rusty, ball going through the goalpost, getting picked off by Landon Roberts, like, it sounded really bad. So it looked better than those reports read, for sure. But I'm sorry. I'm just, go back and look. The bulk of his stuff came to James White, Julian Edelman, and Chris Hogan. I know he can do that. I don't care how rusty he is. He's going to be able to hit little jewels on four-yard little option routes, and he can sure as hell hit a running back on a screen pass. That doesn't show me anything. That doesn't mean anything.
Did anyone other than White get the ball in the first drive?
I mean, what is that? That does nothing for me. Zero. Is he working with any new receivers? Is he getting on a rhythm or on a same page with any of these guys? Can anyone out there do anything? I haven't seen Dorsett, Decker, Patterson. I'm sorry. Oh, so he caught a screen and outran everybody. Like, what? Big whoop-de-doo.
And stepped out of bounds,
and then
says
stepped out of bounds to boot when he should have had six. Right. Good point by you. I mean, I did see Patterson, I thought, get open on an in-cut, and Brady almost got him killed.
Oh, right. Yeah, the hospital ball.
Chucked it 5 yards over his head. But Bedard wrote about it. Bedard did a good job. He said that it was all safe, mamby-pamby crap. He said the Patriots had Brady throw six passes, only six, beyond 10 yards. He had nearly as many, five, behind the line, and had a total of 18 throws of 10 yards or under. There was only one drive where he really pushed the ball down the field at all, and on that drive, he went 1 for 5 with eight yards with two balls that should have been intercepted. And that was one of the deep balls to Dorsett.
Sure.
I think there was another one to Hogan.
Yeah, both of them down the right side, yeah.
Right, so they're just those chuck and duck sort of plays. And that was the only drive where they really tried to do anything other than just pop it down to James White or Julian Edelman. Like, all right. Like, I'm not telling you that he sucked. The bar is incredibly high for Brady. If you are going to trade Jimmy Garoppolo, the next franchise quarterback for 10 years, Brady has to remain elite, 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 and that pass game has to remain elite, elite, elite. That's all I'm saying to you. So, Bob, I told you he was going into that game in a no-win situation, and he didn't win. Here's Billy, in my eyes, here's Billy in Waltham. Go ahead, Billy, on Chris Sale.
Hey, how's it going? Oh, first, real quick, I want to say Major League Baseball trolling nouns is one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
We'll get to that.
It was hilarious. I was dying. So anyway, on Chris Sale, correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like didn't he complain about some soreness in spring training after they were tinkering with like the way he trains or something like that? Maybe you can get Murray to look it up.
Like, screw you, look it up.
Roll over, Murray.
The callers starting out bossing around.
That is awesome.
Looking something up for the callers.
Yeah, I remember it from March. Maybe Murray can look that up while I'm talking to you guys.
Well, no, but just Google Chris Sale and new approach, and there's reams of stuff. But back in the off season and into spring training in the first couple of weeks in Fort Myers and in the first half of the year about the new approach and the new approach and the new approach. And then it sort of took the tone of a victory lap there in the middle of the year when Chris Sale's lighting it up. And it's like, see the new approach. And I remember you saying at the time, you don't know about the new approach yet till you get to the end of the year when he typically fades.
No, that's right, because the whole plan was to get him good in July. That was the plan. Let's get him at peak efficiency in the month of July. And you had to wait. And so, see, I already think it's been proven it didn't work. I don't want to say it's a loss because
it was worth trying.
Exactly. Of course it was worth. No two ways about it. Absolutely, Mike. Like, I look at it and I say, you had to give it a shot. They got to do something to preserve this guy in September and October. At least they're doing the right thing now. But the fact that his shoulder flared up, like, I look at that and say, he just can't handle the workload. It's really that simple. So if I were them, what you're going to have to do now is you got to build them a month off in the middle of the season. You got to start handling them the way they handled Pedro years ago. You give them a month off in the middle. That's it, and you start them up again on August 1.
Here's the very latest in the world of sports with Jim Murray, and then more of your calls on a reentry Monday.
Sports Hub headlines.
The Red Sox and Cleveland Indians begin a four-game series and potential playoff preview tonight at Fenway Park. The Indians will send Corey Kluber to the mound against Rick Porcello in the series opener. which is actually the first of seven games between these teams the rest of the regular season. Porcello comes into tonight's game with a record of 15-5 and a 4.04 earned run average. He's also 10-4 with a 3.35 earned run average and 22 career starts against Cleveland. First pitch at Fenway is at 7:10. In their first full padded practice of the week, rookie tight end Ryan Izzo absent for the Patriots today. This marks the first practice that the seventh-round pick has missed this offseason. Along with Izzo, the Patriots still missing Marcus Cannon, Sony Michel, and Harvey Lange. Running back Rex Burkhead, he was limited today. Patriots played their third preseason game this Friday night against the Carolina Panthers. Punter John Ryan's 10-year run with the Seattle Seahawks has come to an end as they released him today. And Alabama will begin their quest for a second consecutive national championship with a rare three-peat as the Crimson Tide, just the second team to be ranked number one in the preseason AP Top 25 poll for three straight seasons, 2 through 5 in the Top 25. You get Clemson, Georgia, Wisconsin, and Ohio State. Headlines are brought to you by AdCare Hospital. If you or a loved one is struggling with alcohol or drug use, help just around the corner. Call AdCare at 1-800-ALCOHOL. I'm Jim Murray from Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 Sports Hub. Next update, 30 minutes. Stay adventurous.
Felger and Mass.
I love it.
You were right, Mass.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bore my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
Bowles pressured by Claiborne. Strip sack. Ball's loose. Bats have it. Bentley on the run. In the clear. Touchdown, Patriots.
There you go. Presser. Could have used that last year.
That'll get you noticed. This kid's been making plays since day one of training camp.
51. Boiler up, baby.
Must look like a young Gerard Mayo out there. I don't think Gerard's ever been that fast.
All right, Matt, you're not buying any of those guys on D?
I'm not buying into them?
I mean, you're not buying anything on that they got going on?
No, no. I told you, I like Claiborne. It feels to me like they got more bodies there, and I like Bentley, too. I like what I've seen. I find the preseason so hard to evaluate. Like, Derek Rivers is a great example. He looks like he can get around the edge there, right? Who's he playing against?
Well, he did it all against the backup.
Okay, so this is the kind of thing, is you just don't really know. Now, look, relative to last year, I like it. I mean, and Claiborne opened my eyes. And it wasn't just the playmaking, and that play really, I know Bentley took it back for the touchdown, but that play to me was about Claiborne. Claiborne's the one who made that play. He's the one that forced the fumble, all of it. And so what I liked about Claiborne, though, is it felt to me like he kept coming. That's a preseason game, week two. This guy's coming at him every play. Like that, I like seeing. That suggests to me that, you know, yeah, he's got a motor. Like that, but that I think is important. I think in for that coach and in this league, you got to have that kind of relentlessness. And so him, I like.
What do you think, Murray? You encouraged?
Yeah, there seems to be a real push up front there. And I don't know if that's some new guys like a fatso like Danny Shelton is opening up more room for someone like Bentley to, you know, sniff out plays. But that kid looks instinctual. He's having impact in two games here, both in the running game and the passing game. Claiborne looks like he's coming off the edge. It looks like they have a legitimate pass rush for the first time in a while. So I don't know how you can't be encouraged about that.
All right, Patriots, Red Sox going back and forth. Teddy and Chicopee, what do you got for me on the Pats, Teddy?
Oh, yeah, about the Patriots' defense. The defensive line played a hell of a game, but their defensive back, if you watched it, were awful. They never turned around to see where the ball was. Left everything up to the receiver, and they had a lot of stupid penalties. They need help, Mike, in that defensive backs.
Okay. I mean, they could use another guy. I don't know. Hopefully 35 isn't in the mix.
Yeah, Keon Crossan.
Holy crap. Who's that guy?
I mean, yeah, good question.
I think there was one drive he was responsible for like 55 yards worth of penalties.
Yeah.
He's brutal.
Yeah, no, he had more yards than Decker.
Yeah.
I mean, but between Eric Rowe and Jason McCourty, I know he got burnt bad on that touchdown, but Rowe, McCourty, this Duke Dawson kid who was looked, I guess he was out of the game, but he looked okay previous to that. Who am I missing? Jonathan Jones, who I flashed last year, I thought.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. You think there's all he needs is one or two of those guys.
Yeah, so I hope you're right. The McCourty thing bugs me, okay? Because so many fans are trying to, you know, just decide that Devin McCourty was all of a sudden the next coming of Revis.
Jason McCourty.
Jason McCourty. And I'm exaggerating, but he's guaranteed to be the starting corner opposite of Gilmore. And I watched him in this game, and he looks like he can't play. I mean, that play where he got smoked on the touchdown was awful. And maybe it's just one play. Maybe it's a preseason game and he didn't care. That's fine. He looks slow. He looks really slow.
Ralph and Methuen on Chris Sale. Hi, Ralph.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
I think that bottom line is the Red Sox know they've won the division. They're going to be in the playoffs. The only thing they truly and absolutely need is Chris Sale pitching like an ace. And they gave him 10 days off. He comes back, pitches incredible. There's no way that after throwing 67 pitches, all of a sudden he's hurt so bad that he has to go on the DL. They did this purposely because they're saying, hey, I guarantee he's going to come back. He's going to pitch one game, two games. He's going to go on it again. All they need is him to pitch incredible in the playoffs, and that's what they want.
Okay, Ralph, so you're just saying this is more rest. Murray, this is your opening thought, that this is the one thing you don't believe.
No, this is a crock. These were two important series that he was getting shut down ahead of. One was the Yankee series. If the Yankees had swept, they would have been a half game behind the Red Sox in the AL East. And this is the first time that they're playing Cleveland, who they're likely going to see in the divisional round of the playoffs. You don't want to measure up against them right now. They're not holding him back. This isn't just some precautionary measure so he's ready for the postseason. If you believe that, you're sticking your head in the sand. There's a real physical issue with this player.
I mean, that's playing with fire if you're doing it that way, isn't it? Like, just because what? You took him off the DL once and he came out through 99, he can do it again and be just as effective, even though that game was against Baltimore, who blows. Like, you're going to start playing that game?
They rushed him back. That's where they really screwed this up.
Or they didn't rush him back and it came back right away. Like, either or. Like, one way or the other. Something happened there, and there's inflammation, and this whole thing, he'll come back and pitch two games and they'll put him back on. No, they won't. Rosters are going to expand in September. That's going to be the end of the DL. They're not going to need to put him on the DL again when they bring him back. Okay, that's going to be the end of that. But they could have very easily, if he's healthy, they can just space out his starts.
Doesn't your body throw up inflammation when it's fighting something?
Sure. Yeah, yes.
When there's you know, an injury or there's something going on, that's when your body swells to react to it, right?
Or
I mean,
just
Dr. Felger here, but isn't that usually a sign of something else?
It can also be overuse. I mean, it can be that, you know, where all of a sudden you just get so fatigued and worn in there that it flares up. Could be that. It means, you know, sometimes you rest and it goes away and you're okay. So it could, but I think that ties into the first thing that you said today, which was he's not a workhorse, you know. And the other thing is, and this part shouldn't get overlooked either. You come off the DL because you had inflammation in your shoulder. You come back and pitch, and you're throwing 99? What are you doing? Put the brakes on a little bit. Throw 95. Why do you have to throw 99 and air it out on every pitch? What are you doing against Baltimore?
Orioles, yeah.
Like, that's just stupid. I'm sorry. That's dumb.
Joe in Boston has a thought on the Patriots. Hi, Joe.
Hey, guys. I had a question about James White, what you guys think he'll do this season. Last year, through the first 8 games, he had 43 catches and was just as involved as Gronk and Edelman and everyone else. I wanted to hear your thoughts on
Right, and then sort of Deion Lewis took over for him, right? Didn't really Deion Lewis, wasn't he the main guy there in the second half of the year?
It did. It shifted, yeah.
So I expect James White to catch a crap ton of balls is what I expect him to do. And if Sony Michel comes back and is healthy, I expect him to catch a crap ton of balls. And yes, so I expect the running backs to be heavily involved. I don't know if that's a great thing. I mean, the last time you had, and I know it's the last couple of years, those guys have emerged and they've gotten more balls. But the last time you had a heavy running back involvement, that usually happens when you don't have receivers. And I don't know if you can live that way all the way to the Super Bowl. I don't know that.
I mean, we might find it. Didn't Brady set a record last year, a personal record?
Correct.
Most completions to running backs?
Or targets to running backs. Yes, exactly.
Yeah, he's going to break it this year.
No question.
You know, and so I don't know what the record is for a running back catching passes in a year, but James White could threaten it. But again, but don't you come back to the same thing, that what kind of beating's he going to take? And then Burkhead, he's already hurt. I mean, I guess he was back out there today, right? So, but even then, can Burkhead withstand it? Michelle's already out. Like, how many hits can these guys take?
We continue with your Patriots thoughts, your Red Sox thoughts. It's a long commercial-free segment. Next, starting off the top of the hour, we got to get to some Aaron Hernandez revelations. There's a new book out on him. Some David Price stuff. He was, again, his old chipper, happy self after the game over the weekend. We'll get to all that stuff next hour in our long commercial-free segment.
It's Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hogan and Dorsett to his right. He looked to right, now he rolls to by time.
You see all these defenders here. Brady sees them.
but he also sees this, spacing to the right side, slides up, and that's just a great one-on-one play, pitch and catch with the quarterback and the receiver. And when you have seven to the left, that's basically one-on-one, four-on-four to the right side. It's a great job by the quarterback.
I will say, while I'm not, you know, I'm not doing naked cartwheels like the rest of you over the offense, Brady, his movement is impressive. 41 now and to still move like that. You know, I mean, I still think he moves better than he did when he was 25 years old, 26 years old. And, right out of the chute to look like that and having not played a game in anger and not really not even practiced all that much since the Super Bowl, pretty impressive. That'll tip my cap and say that is special. So he's still got that. Whatever rust he was knocking off or whatever that he didn't show in his mobility or his footwork or anything like that. Pocket presence, all right there immediately, day one.
And it was that play, right? That play to Hogan is where you really saw it. I mean, that was a sort of your classic Brady play in a lot of ways.
Okay, let's zip through these calls before we get to some Aaron Hernandez stuff and some David Price stuff. 617-779-0985. Tom and Newton on the Pats defense. Hi, Tom.
Hey, Felger. So, Felger, you said earlier, before that you think Belichick, at the end of the day, he's not going to let Flores, really overhaul anything, and he's going to stick to the get everybody back strategy. So my question is, week one, you've got Deshaun Watson and the Texans, who's a mobile QB, and he can do really well a lot of the same things that the Eagles did to them in the Super Bowl. If those first few weeks, if it's a disaster, do you think Belichick's going to hold firm, or he's going to tell Flores, hey, look, turn him loose?
No. I think the more plays they give up, the more they get back. And the more they allow in front of them and just say, screw it. Let's make them work their way down the field. If they can do it, tip your cap, but nothing over the top. And, I mean, that's just a good point. Week one, Deshaun Watson, they're not going to send the house at a guy who can run like that.
No way.
Never.
No.
So it's up to those guys to defeat individual blocks, and that's what I'm talking about. It's not a scheme thing. It's just the ability of the – do they have the personnel to actually create some heat?
Right, and in fact, during the broadcast the other night, I think it was Zoe who was saying a number of times that, the ends clearly make a point of not over-pursuing and getting behind the quarterback. And so it's going to get drilled into their head during here over the last couple of weeks of the preseason, too, because, they're going to see Watson right out of the gate.
Got Jerry in Rhode Island on some Red Sox stuff. Hi, Jerry.
I just took off speaker.
Okay.
With the sale. I think he's tall. He's thin. It's the heat of the summer. I think a guy like him needs hydration. I think a guy who throws as hard as him. No, I'm serious.
Water?
Just like the Cuban players and the fellas from the Caribbean have a tough time in the spring when it's cold. I think a guy like him wears down in the heat. I think things like hydration and saving him for the playoffs. If you want him to be a horse, don't you want him to be a horse going in October?
Okay,
Tom Brady, helmet. I think he's got to change it in a year. Giselle's after him about concussion. She said it in public. So he, gives her a little, throws her a bone. So, he changes this year.
Okay, let's go. We'll do the bone throwing there at a later time. the helmet does look weird. That's not Tom Brady. But if that's a sign that he's going to play into next year because he can't wear the old helmet next year, then I'll take it. I'll take that as a sign. I think that's a good thing. Do you think it's just about Chris Sale drinking more water, Mass?
No, please. It's about the fact that Chris Sale is 6'6" and 190 pounds or whatever the hell he is, 185. He's a rail. It's popsicle sticks, toothpicks, and some Elmer's glue. That's what keeps the guy together. Take a good look at him. I'll tell you what. When he walks off the mound, in all seriousness, try to find his ass. Try to look for it. He doesn't have an ass.
Like a CD case?
Right, yeah, he has no ass, Murray. And I don't know how a guy like that makes it through 200 innings. There's no ass there. All the guys who pitch 200 innings, they all have gigantic asses. He has no ass.
So if you just look at his performance as it relates to, and he usually makes it through the season, but September, October is easily his worst month, right?
He fades.
I'm just trying to pull up the numbers, but again, the... Baseball Reference gives me a popsicle headache trying to look at this thing. We ran him last night on TV. It's like it's easily his worst month, right?
Yes, his ERA in those final couple of months is high threes and into the fours. And all the other months, he's basically twos and low threes. So it goes up. It goes up quite a bit. And I think that this is, when we've touched on this discussion before, if you had to compare his body type to any recent pitcher in Red Sox history, you know who you'd pick? Clay Buchholz. Clay Buchholz. And he's another guy that couldn't make it through a whole season. I mean, if you really looked at Sale and you said, who's he built most like? Is it Lester? He's taller than Pedro. Even Pedro was denser than Sale is. It's Buchholz, and Buchholz couldn't last either.
So here's Chris Sale. Thank you, Mass. ERA by months, and April, March are together, and September, October are together. But basically, April, March, 2.8. Then it goes to 2.67 in May, 2.54 in June, 2.40 in July, which, again, the victory lap's done for Chris Sale having a good July this year. Blow me away when he's always lit it up in July. So, I mean, it just look at it. It's a perfect little curve. Month to month, 2.8, 2.6, 2.5. The bottom is 2.40 in July in his career. Then he goes up to 3.16 in August and 3.78 in September, October.
Right. And last year, the numbers were even a little bit higher in August and September. So I just think it's classic.
It's,
you know,
easily his lowest winning percentage. He has a losing record career in September, October, 11-16.
Right. And it's not to say that he's bad in those months, because, you know,
3.8, 3.78 is fine.
But he's no longer an ace.
He's no longer Chris Sale.
Right. He then sort of morphs into a different kind of pitcher, and he's just not as dominant. And that for a team like the Red Sox, that's a huge difference.
Ryan in Somerville on the Pats. Hi, Ryan.
Hey, guys. Just want a quick question I want to run by you here. Clearly, there was a lot of holes last year when Hightower went down. We saw it with Landon Roberts and Kyle Van Noy. But who do we need a bigger year from? Is it Hightower? Or if Gilmore has another dud year, I mean, who's a really better asset to this team and their defense? I mean, if one has a dud year, or if Hightower can't...
Well, let me stop you. I mean, thank you for the call. Who's more valuable, Hightower or Stephon Gilmore?
Gilmore.
Gilmore, I agree. I think that left corner position... and I assume he's going to be on the left. That the, you know, that number one left corner spot, it's a really big spot.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, they had a problem with the run all last year, and it certainly caught up with them in the Super Bowl. The Eagles, they were gashing them to the tune of, what, 6-8 yards a carry or whatever it was.
So you think that was the running game that cost them that game?
I mean, partly. Hightower's huge. He matters to this defense, especially with the lack of depth and the bums they have there, like Van Noy and Landon Roberts and the rest of them.
Everything cost him. So I'm not going to tell you that, you know, their play against the run was poor and it hurt them. I think the big plays over the top are how they lost the game, though. I think it's a passing game. I mean,
sucked at the end.
I mean, to me, Hightower's more of a run game player. And obviously, as a corner, you're primarily a pass game player. And I think it's all about stopping the pass. And I think if you have one of those corners who can lock down on one receiver or shut down half the field, you know, that sort of guy, changes who you are.
Well, the other thing is, and I'm not saying the drop-off is good in either place, but if you lose Gilmore, who plays left corner?
Rowe, Jason McCourty. Gilmore was good for, what, 7 weeks last year?
Listen, Murray, I hear you, and I'm not sold on Gilmore. I just think that if Eric Rowe is playing left corner, they are boned. They are completely, absolutely porked. Screwed, like with a royal, capital S, royally screwed.
All right, we're back here on a reentry Monday. Everything on the board from the weekend. Patriots stuff, follow-up stuff from the game. We got some developments from the weekend to get to, another injury up front for the Patriots. Their number one pick, their first-round pick, gone for the year. Thoughts on that and what it means for the roster. All the Red Sox stuff, the Chris Sale injury on the board. I do want to get to. Also, Aaron Hernandez coming up next, and David Price next hour as well, from one a-hole to the next, not to compare the two, but there's a general theme for you. No commercials. Update them. We're right back.